Amen, amen. You may be seated as the children are dismissed to junior church today. I was going to talk about peace part two, but since it's the new year, I changed my mind, and I really want to talk about what God has called us to do as a church and our purpose as we come into 2024. And I want to talk about church covenant partnership with a purpose, and I want to invite you to turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 2, and we're going to be reading verses of focusing on verses 42 to 47 today. Acts chapter 2. And without purpose, we will end up anywhere, right? How many have set out to drive in your car? You're like, oh, I don't know where I'm going to go. Some of us maybe have tried that. Let's flip a coin to go this way or that way. And we end up who knows where, or we end up going in circles. But that's what it's like when we have no purpose. And so I want to remind us of our church vision, our church purpose, coming into 2024. Speaking of purpose, and as the guy is laying on the couch before the therapist, he says, of course you have purpose in life. You pay taxes, don't you? Well, thank God there's more purpose than paying taxes. I'll just let you read this one on your own. Okay. Some of us have different purposes. Before I met you, my life had no purpose, said the screwdriver to the screw. When it comes to the church, we have a purpose. We have a purpose, and it's found in Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47. And I want to read that this morning together, and then we're going to break down that passage, and we're going to go through our church purpose and just pray that God would reinvigorate us this year in 2024, that I would be able to talk. All right, verse 42, he says, "And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, and to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common, and they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and the breaking of bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved." Now, I want to read our purpose statement, which is taken out of the text of the scripture. We have five main purposes, but Christ Community Church, our purpose is to bring glory to God and expand His kingdom through, not us, but through the work of Jesus on the cross. By God's sovereign grace, our primary objective is to love God and love others through. And there's five things that we will find in the scripture today, which is our purpose. Knowing Jesus Christ by actively learning and living the Bible, that is discipleship. Experience in Jesus by connecting with and caring for His community of believers, that's fellowship. Loving Jesus Christ by developing a lifestyle of Spirit-led prayer and worship, that's giving glory to God. Worship, serving Jesus Christ by using our gifts in ministry. Sharing Jesus Christ by boldly demonstrating and declaring His whole gospel to the world, that's evangelism. This past year, we tried and we did some different things for outreach. We had our Thanksgiving outreach dinner. Some of you went door to door. Some of you set up prayer tents and prayed for people as they came in. And I hope that this year we'll be able to do more and more of that as we reach out to our community for Jesus Christ. So we talk about covenant partnership or being a part of a church body. What is church covenant partnership? First of all, there's the spiritual part. And that's the part that all believers have. When someone is born again or believes in Jesus Christ and His gospel, they are baptized by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ, and they become members of God's invisible church. Now, we have two things. The invisible church that we can't see, that's all believers on the planet that put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ and are born again. And then we have the second thing is physical partnership, which we talk about church membership or church covenant within the church that we're a part of, is after someone is born again, they get baptized in water and make a commitment or covenant by joining a local visible church body. That's what we can see here. Baptism and joining a local church is the visible sign for humans of becoming a member of God's church. So we have the spiritual part, that which is salvation, which is being born again, all of those that have the Holy Spirit. We have the physical part that we can see for those that join a church body and say, yes, I'm going to be committed to serve God with this local church. So why is the church covenant partnership or membership so important? You say, why make a big deal? Some churches don't have church membership. So there's several reasons, but I'm just going to read these quickly. But just to get you thinking, is first of all, so that the elders know who they're responsible to shepherd. By those that are willing to say, hey, I'm making a commitment. I'm letting you and giving you permission to hold me accountable, teach me the Word of God, and in the sense, we're giving that member, that church member, permission to hold the leadership accountable, to grow in Jesus Christ. It's so each member knows who they are accountable to and who to hold accountable. And it's so that each member takes responsibility to serve the body of Christ and carry out their ministries. It's so that church discipline and spiritual growth can be clearly carried out by the whole church in a loving, effective manner. Is so that all members know who's on their team when difficulty and persecution come. And that's especially important in persecuted countries. When I read books about pastors that serve and the people in their congregations, if they weren't really connected, they would turn them into their persecutors, some of their own people. So it's important to know who's together, who's on the same team. It is so that we have unity. Everyone has a common agenda together to build the kingdom of God, not individual agendas. I'm sure all of you have hopes and dreams and ministries and things that you would like to do, but we come together in unity with a common agenda to do outreaches and to carry it out in a specific way in where we're planted. And so decisions can be effectively carried out through prayer by the body of Christ, so that the whole church lives out their kingdom agenda together at all times rather than just on Sunday. So we come to this text of Scripture. In verse 42, he begins by saying, and they devoted themselves, and then he makes the list of those five purposes. So what does it mean to be devoted to God's church? That word devoted is a lengthy Greek word that has a lot of definition to it. But the first part of that definition means church membership is a priority. They commit to constantly attend meetings and participate with the body of Christ. Their schedule revolves around God's kingdom agenda rather than fitting it into their own agenda. When we get saved, we're a part of the kingdom of God. So it's not like, okay, God, I'm adding you to my calendar. The kingdom of God becomes your calendar. Serving Jesus Christ becomes a priority. So that Greek word means to be earnest towards, to be constantly diligent, to attend assiduously or avidly as we come. So it's making church membership a priority. The second part of that is that church membership becomes a way of life. They're committed to building relationships with and serve the body of Christ as a daily lifestyle. They live together. And so the other part of that Greek word is to associate closely and continually with, to stay close by, to serve in a close and personal relationship, to serve personally. So in other words, it's sticking together. It's becoming a way of life. This is my family. And the third part of this meaning is that church membership is a commitment. They're faithful to stick together to build God's kingdom no matter how difficult it is They don't give up when times get tough. So the other part of that Greek word is to continue to do something with intense effort, with the possible implication of despite difficulty, to persist in. And how many had difficulties in the last year? All of us have. All of us have had difficult things, and there were times in our life when we say, I just want to go in a hole and hide for a while. Or my thing I say to Tanya, in which she bats me right down, is like, isn't there an island somewhere that we can go live and we can fish and live off the land and live by ourselves? And she said, you'll get bored with that real soon and you'll want to be around people. And she's right, because I love people. I love this congregation. I love this church. What does it mean to be devoted? It's basically making church membership or commitment to one another as a priority, a commitment, and a way of life. Now, as we talk about these five purposes in the church, it's like playing baseball. And this is from Purpose Driven Church, a book that was written a long time ago back when I was in school. But when you are on the first base, that's when you first get saved. Someone shares Christ with you. And then you go on to grow in knowing Jesus Christ. And how do you do that? By connecting with a body of believers to get into fellowship. That's first base. And then going on to second base is growing in Christ. I have to mature to become more like Jesus. And then I go on to third base in serving Christ. I get involved in a ministry in a church, in the church, and then ultimately begin to share Christ and repeat this disciple-making process over and over and over again, with worship being the center of it all, giving God the glory in everything we do, that none of those things on the outside have to do with us or for us or to us or about us, but about Jesus Christ. So the purpose of this church is to bring glory to God and expand His kingdom through the work of Jesus by God's sovereign grace. Our primary objective is to love God and love others through. And so I want you to notice there's five things, and I put in the red here at the end, or that's not red, but some of you have the proper word, fuchsia. Fuchsia. Thank you, Tanya. Knowing Jesus Christ by actively learning to live in the Bible. So notice in verse 42, he says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. And then experiencing Jesus Christ by connecting with and caring for His community of believers. And says, and the fellowship, and to the breaking of bread and prayer. So that's Spirit-led prayer and worship, becoming a house of worship. And then serving Jesus through ministry. As we go on, it says many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. They sold everything, distributing proceeds, and gave to all that had need. So they were involved in ministry. And then, of course, last of all, it says they in verse 47, the Lord added to their number day by day those who are being saved. As evangelism is sharing Jesus by boldly demonstrating and declaring the whole gospel to the world. So I repeated that twice today on purpose. Now I want us to break down each thing. So what are we supposed to be devoted to? These five things. First of all, he says the apostles' teaching, which is found right here in the scriptures. It's handed down from the apostles. And you think about the apostles who were just like us, who had a lot of struggles and trouble in their life. And you think of Peter who denied Jesus and who became one of the main leaders in the church. You know, Jesus restored him. And so they wrote, God used them and spoke to through them through the Holy Spirit to give us the Word of God. And so as a church, our purpose is not just to sit here and look pretty and make an indentation in these chairs. Our purpose is to be devoted to the Scriptures. It includes personal Bible study, the former teaching like you have today in church and church meetings, Bible studies like you have at Jennifer's house or on Wednesday nights. It includes Bible doctrine as well as teaching it. It includes disciple being a disciple or being mentored by someone. And so I think everyone, and then my challenge is for you this year, is are you getting discipled? And you can get discipled by reading books. There's a lot of great Christian men and women, missionaries in the world that we can read. But mainly reading the Word of God is that we need to be committed to being discipled or mentored by somebody. And in my, you know, and I don't want to just have one or two people. I have a lot of people across the United States that are my mentors that I call when things are going awry in my life. And not only that, I have counselors and therapists that are involved in my life in a regular way. It's a way of life. It's a way of growth so that I grow in my mind, I grow in my spirit, I grow in my emotions, and I really learn to connect to the Word of God, not just to read it for what it is, but to enjoy it and encounter the face of God. But it also included, which you may not want to hear today, is getting involved in someone else's life. You might say, well, I'm a new Christian or I'm a baby Christian. There's always someone that maybe just got saved yesterday. There's always someone at a different place in their life. And there's also always someone that's encountering right now a trial that you have already been through. And so it includes teaching and mentoring and getting involved. So finding others. And I think in a lot of ways, our church has done a wonderful job of mentoring and taking the young people in. And for those that don't have fathers and mothers and things like that, we need to continue to do that and do it even more. So if not, this is a pep rally to continue to do what we've been doing and to do so even more. And then we have fellowship, which is to share in community. It's not just talking or shooting the breeze, but it's meeting needs, coming together, sharing, and having a common participation. And 2 Corinthians 8:5 gives the hint when Paul was talking about the church giving it, it costs us something. Fellowship costs. It costs our time. It costs our pain that we go through and helping each other work through things. It includes the act of encouraging, the lifestyle of encouraging one another. But not just encouraging, but spurring, which, you know, those pokey things, those star things that horse riders have and poke in the side a little bit and gets the horse running. I thank God for my wonderful wife who is able to do that a lot of things, because I would like to sit and slump in my easy chair of life. And there's times that I need to be spurred. And I'm sure all of you can relate to that with your wives or husbands and brothers and sisters. We're called to poke a little bit. Say, come on, let's get moving. You're down and discouraged. Let's get up and let's get going. Let's leave the past behind and move on towards what is ahead. Let's face tough things in your life. It includes accountability and includes also a word that none of us like, which is church discipline, which we misunderstand that word a lot. It is always for the purpose of healing and restoration and bringing us to Jesus Christ. And there's times when we will each need that in our lives in different ways and different forms. Number three is worship. And notice what he connects that in the verse there. He says, teaching and the fellowship, and to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And I'm not sure exactly, but some maybe scholars mean that they were singing the Psalms or praying the Psalms when he says the prayers. But in any case, we call that public worship. When we come together to share, we come together to read scriptures. He says it includes personal prayer and intimacy with God. And so having a prayer life at home, but also public prayer where we pray out loud with one another. And I do want to say, if even when you're in your private prayer closet, if you pray out loud, it really helps you stay focused and believe what you're praying. And that was Hebrew culture. They prayed out loud. That was just the norm. So when we come together, so if you're afraid to pray together in a group, I would challenge you to come on Sunday morning when we have Sunday morning prayer. That's the reason this church is still existing right now, is because of that prayer room and because people that are committed on an ongoing basis to pray for this church and pray together and seek God's face together. But just come. Maybe just listen to some of the prayers of others. Come and maybe say a one-sentence prayer and let it move on to somebody else. Maybe find a scripture that God has spoken to you in your devotions and pray that out in your own words. And so those are ways that you can learn to engage in corporate prayer. The early church did it. That's why they survived. And it is a cliche statement that says the family that prays together, that stays together, but it's really true. Why? Because we're depending on the Lord together. We're not just doing a corporate business thing here. This is not a business meeting. It's not corporate church where a pastor is the CEO. We're coming to depend on God together. This includes doing everything for God's glory alone and centering our lives around the Lord's table, the body and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, as Christians, we should get into the habit of everything we do because of the body and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Every meal we sit down to, that in some way or fashion or form, we acknowledge the body and the blood of our Savior. It always brings us back to the center of worship, that it is not about us, and everything that we do in life is not about us. It's not about the easy route or what makes us feel good. It's about what glorifies and honors a holy God. It's worship. And then we have ministry, and that's ministering to one another through the Spirit, using your gifts and talents. So as we look around the room, there are a lot of gifts and talents in this room, and you've used them in ministry this year. What would it look like with one person missing? It's a big vacuum. It's like when there's just one member missing, we miss that ministry. It includes practicing the gifts that the Spirit has given you. And we had talked in some of our classes in the past, if you can see it, say it. And I would encourage you, as a part of our fellowship time when we greet one another on Sunday morning, is maybe affirming some people's gifts. Saying, you know, you really thrive in this area, and I love to see you do that. It helps people learn their gifts and stay in their gifts. It includes giving spiritually to others, and like through discipling them and praying over them and being willing to impart. You know, when someone asks you for prayer, don't just say, okay, I'll pray for you, because you'll forget. I do all the time. So, you know, just say, hey, could we pray right now? Put your hand on their shoulder, because there's fellowship and power through the Holy Spirit through that communication of touch. It includes giving physically to others through benevolence or meeting needs. There are times in the body of Christ when we see physical, spiritual, and emotional needs that need to be met. It's a commitment to that. It's a commitment to evangelism and sharing the gospel. So I hope that this year, as we have opportunities, when weather starts to warm up and we do our prayer tents and parking lots, that more of us will get involved and say it's as simple as just being there, or that we go door to door and say, how can I pray for you? I'm from such and such church. How can I pray for you today? I can guarantee you that open doors for the gospel in many homes will happen right away. The moment you say that word, can I pray for you? Oh, my grandma used to go to church. Or then you have something common to talk about. And you could say, you know, what are your needs? How can I pray for you? Then you can kind of weave in the gospel in a certain way and share that. It includes living it out, not only as an example, but caring enough to tell people. Folks, we have to tell as well as show. There's got to be both. And guess what? I'm afraid to do it by myself. I'm afraid to do it on my own, just like you are. I'm standing in a shopping line and the Lord nudges me to share something with somebody. Immediately, there's this knot in my stomach that comes up. But that's the importance of prayer. That's the importance of being connected together in prayer. And we pray for each other because we need to be empowered and filled with the Spirit of God at all times as we go out and reach people with the gospel. It's caring people, caring for people enough to share. We don't know if they have a future. We don't know if they could die tomorrow. Do you have the heart of God? And I would challenge you to pray for that heart of the Lord Jesus Christ, for mercy for sinners that are dying and going to hell. That love to share the good news of Jesus Christ with people we come and meet. So how did the early church exactly do all five of these things? They were sloppy just like us, but they kept themselves together. It says in the text here, in verse 46, and day by day attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts. So first of all, they constantly came together. We have all kinds of ways. It's best to come together physically, but we have all kinds of ways to come together. Through a phone call, through the apps that we have on our phone, through all those ways of communication. We can say, hey, how's your witnessing going today? Or how is it at work with dealing with that difficult boss? Just a nice little text at that moment. They met every day in their homes. Do you notice the word every day there, day by day? It's not just a once or twice a week thing. It's living life together as a community. So this is how they kept it together. That's how they stayed strong. And so by how much we commit to this and being involved in one another's lives spiritually for the purpose of evangelism and outreach is how effective we'll be in these five areas. They met every day in homes and they prayed and they did their ministries together. You know, if you have opportunity to go on a trip or do something to minister to somebody, maybe you might want to invite another brother or sister from church to say, hey, I have this opportunity. Come along with me. And let's show the love of Jesus to these people. Let's do it together. And then I want to point out from this text of Scripture the character traits of a healthy church member. So they met regularly, but notice that they were very generous and sacrificial. They came together and had all things in common. Some were selling things and they were distributing for the proceeds to all. And they were talking about money, but we can be generous and sacrificial in all areas of our life. And why do we do that? Because it is the mark of our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is the central part of the gospel that Jesus Christ died for us in our place and loved us so much sacrificially when we didn't deserve it. When we were spitting in His face, when we were doing the wrong things, He still loved us and died for us. It is a generous and sacrificial way of living. And as believers, our lives ought to be characterized by sacrifice. And no, we can't do it on our own. It must be through God. And it says, not only that, they were filled with gladness. And awe came on every soul. And you have words like they were praising God and having favor with all the people. And that word gladness is a state of intensive joy. And that Greek word implies verbal expression and body movement. In other words, there was some laughter, there was some jumping, there's leaping, and there's some dancing. In other words, it wasn't God's chosen, frozen kind of church. Their indentations were not really that well because they were up and moving. They were excited about what God was doing. They had a passion for ministry. They had a passion for life. You see, at feasts, people who were anointed with the oil of gladness in Hebrews 1:9 alludes to this inaugural ceremony of anointing. It uses it as an emblem of divine power and majesty to which the Son of God has been exalted. And we say we receive the oil of gladness in our salvation. They were filled with gladness. And then there was another word that says they were with sincere hearts. That word sincere means smoothness or without rocks or without stubbing your toe on a rock. So in other words, how many like to have a rock in your shoe when you walk around? Nobody does. It's like, I got to stop and get this out of my shoe. Sincerity is being real and practicing what we believe. It's living in obedience to the Scriptures, keeping our covenants before God. It is enjoying life in sincerity and humility and being genuine and real. The other part is that they were continuously praising God. It says they were enjoying the favor of all the people. They enjoyed living life with other believers. And not only that, it says that they had favor with the people. They had a good reputation with those that are on the outside. And so these are the character traits of what was happening when a church devotes to these five purposes. If we compromise in one turn, we begin to become weak. It's like we're watered, like drinking watered down lemonade, which I really hate when you do those lemonade mixes. There's just not enough in there. It's like I might as well drink mud water, you know, out of a mud puddle. Don't allow our impact and our ministry and our purpose this year to become watered down by compromise. So what would happen? And the text shows us what happens if we follow this biblical plan and we stick to it and we commit to it with all of our hearts this year at Christ Community Church. Notice that there were signs and wonders being wrought by the apostles' hands, and we know that God is a miracle-working God, and as well as tragedies this year, we've also experienced our share of miracles. And we were filled with awe, having a profound awareness and sense of God's presence. You know, like when we were singing that song this morning, Christ My Hope. Weren't you in awe of God's presence? And then sings my soul, how great thou art. Was your heart filled with an awe and wonder of how great God is? That's what they were experiencing. And there wasn't a single need in the congregation and in that church and in that community that was not met. We're going to see people converted to Jesus Christ, and God is going to receive the glory that He deserves. And you know, when we commit to this plan as a church body, we'll develop leaders based on that purpose. We'll teach with that purpose. We'll plan our events with that purpose. We'll budget our monies for that purpose. We'll use this building for that purpose. And we'll evaluate constantly if what we're doing is out of obedience to Christ's purpose. It's not like we just haphazardly say, oh, well, let's go do this. Somebody's doing this over here. Or oh, let's go do that. It's coming together and pray and say, does it fit in with the purpose that God has given us for the church? Is it fulfilling His great commission? So I want to leave us today. Could you read this purpose statement with me this morning? The purpose of this church is to bring glory to God and expand His kingdom through the work of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. By God's sovereign grace, our primary objective is to love God and love others through knowing Jesus Christ by actively learning and living the Bible, experiencing Jesus Christ by connecting with and caring for His community of believers, loving Jesus Christ by developing a lifestyle of Spirit-led prayer and worship, serving Jesus Christ by using our gifts in ministry, sharing Jesus Christ by boldly demonstrating and declaring His whole gospel to the world. Is that something that you can get behind? It's the Word of God. And is that something that we can spur one another on and spur the pastor and spur the leaders when we need spurring to keep our focus on this purpose this year? Can we do it? Can we make the round of bases? Can we get other people to make those round of bases in 2024 so that we become a church involved in church covenant partnership with a purpose and a plan? Father God, I want to ask this morning that you would be with us as we digest your word. Lord, I thank you that you did not leave us without direction and purpose. And Lord, as a church body right now, we just want to say, Lord, we ask your forgiveness together. I ask your forgiveness as a pastor and a leader for any of these areas that we've neglected. And so, Lord, we invite you to reveal your presence and your heart to us, to fill us with the power of your Holy Spirit, that in 2024 we will reach people with the gospel in Taze Valley and all the surrounding areas and all of our sphere of influence in our family, in our neighborhoods, in our workplaces for the glory of God. Lord Jesus, we pray for your motivation. We pray for your zeal. We pray for your heart for the gospel of reconciliation. We pray for your gospel, for your heart with the gospel of peace. And Lord, I pray that you would be with this whole congregation as we commit in 2024 in the midst of gladness, in the midst of sorrow, in the midst of tragedy, in the midst of hurt, in the midst of pain, that you would receive all the glory as we worship you and praise you. And all God's people said, let's